fantastic journalism. This is why you subscribe to newspapers. Hopefully it's why you listen to us. A great profile of the players, if you will, at City Council. And there were 10 council profiles done. And in a non-election year, I thought it was really great digging. One of the writers of those profiles was David Ryder, who covers City Hall for the Toronto Star. It's great to have you on again.
Good morning.
I really enjoyed it. If you're a city councilor, you're like, where's my profile? You know, there's 2 years left, right? There's 2 years plus change left till we start figuring out who's running again.
Yeah. Anytime you talk about the players and you miss somebody, I usually hear about it.
I was struck by even what Amber Morley said, because she was a rookie councilor stepping into, you know, third term of John Tory, Dave. And obviously she's thinking to herself, how do I make noise here? Where's my John Tory and I differ ideologically on a few things? And then presto, snap of a finger, what happened last year happens. And she plays a pretty key role now in governing the city, as opposed to being on the outside looking in.
Yeah. And I think the fact that Mayor Chow put her, you know, a young black progressive on the police board sort of set things up for her to have a voice. But she's also been independent. As we point out, she's pushed for development on so-called employment lands. Like she's kind of making her own way, but she's definitely one to watch.
You mentioned as well, I find we had Gord Perks on the show Friday, and I find his role really interesting. He's described as Gord Perks, the veteran, which he is that. And it's an odd one, isn't it, to go from battling with no doubt with Rob Ford for 4+ years to battling with John Tory for 8+ years. There still is some a prickliness may be too strong a word, but if he disagrees with something Olivia Chow does, he still isn't afraid to say it. I think he's an interesting counselor in that respect.
Yeah, I think I wrote that was kind of positioned him as sort of mostly a career outsider. I met him way back when I worked in Manitoba, and he was a shaggy Greenpeace campaigner fighting a dam. And, you know, he was there for a little bit of the David Miller mayoralty, where he was very much inside the tent. But for the Rob Ford years and for the John Tory years, he was kind of the de facto leader of the sort of the loose lit NDP left leaning liberal coalition. So I think, yeah, the interesting journey for him to not watch now, the mayor handed him the most important file, housing. He's the chair of the committee. And can he effectively become a builder as opposed to what we all know, which is an extremely effective critic?
David Ryder from the Toronto Star joining us. What I really sat down, I was watching some soccer and I read all the profiles. I read the profile of Chris Moyes, a veteran like Stephen Holliday. But what I found really intriguing is I was having that typical conversation about federal and provincial politics where we say when one party gets into office, we tend to want to balance that out. And I wonder, there's no way we can go back and redo it. But I started thinking, David, that when John Tory gets reelected and it's a real easy run in for him, People know that that's going to be the case. So I wonder almost, though, Toronto's almost always going to lean more left than right with municipal politics and the other branches of politics as well. There are outliers. I do wonder with Olivia Chow being mayor, if she decides to run again, I do wonder whether we have more centrist towards center right candidates stepping up. I just wonder if the election of people like Moyes and Asma Malik and Amber Morley was more a reaction to who John Tory is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's one of those things, and the reason I love politics is you can never 100% predict. I can see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Definitely there would be people who would campaign and said, Toronto's gone too far left, I'll help swing it back. You could also see young progressives, inspired by Mayor Chow and say, I want to join that team and make a run for it. So I think that one could go either way. I mean, we've definitely seen some who came close. Francis Nunziata almost lost to a young progressive housing organizer. I'm sure she would love to be on Team Chow, but there are definitely people, especially in the suburbs, I think, who are going to say and are already saying, like, you know, Toronto City Hall is being too woke or too left or whatever kind of adjective you want to use.
You mentioned Brad Bradford, and I think he had he was in the right when it came to Uber licenses and rideshare licenses. You mentioned that was a reversal. Outside of rideshare licenses and the city having to walk that back because of a legal threat via Uber, and obviously a really recent mess with the vacant home tax, would you say those are the two things that sort of sit on Olivia Chow's desk and you'd say, well, those are major policy missteps and mistakes? Everybody's going to make some. Are those the two that stand out to you?
certainly the two that she's had the most difficulty with. And, you know, I'd say of late, she's had like a bit of a rough go between the vacant home tax, the World Cup, which was not her doing, but she's, you know, got to deal with it, a bunch of things. But yeah, I mean, she's definitely trying to thread a difficult needle. And yeah, I think there's lingering sort of concern from some people over the Yonge Dundas Square renaming, which, you know, we'll see as it goes forward and comes Sankofa Square, how that works out. But and Brad's got an interesting needle to thread too, because he was made vice chair of planning and housing. He's a planner, so that's like a bit of a plum position, even if it's not the top job. Gord Perks told me he actually works on day-to-day stuff really well with Brad Bradford, although they very much disagree on the bigger picture stuff. Yeah, Brad's sort of half in the camp, but he's also fashioning himself as the mayor's chief critic, and is sort of, you know, on Twitter and other places, is, you know, publicly like questioning her leadership. So he's an interesting one to watch too.
And before you go, that there hasn't really been a split in the council since that letter was written by six councillors. Lily Cheng took her name off it quite quickly the day after it went public, and we spoke to her last Monday about it. But I'd say the disconnect seems to be between those councillors, maybe Mayor Chow, and obviously Toronto Police. What are your expectations there as to where that relationship goes in the next in the upcoming months?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, the letter itself, when I first read it, I was like it doesn't call out the police directly, it doesn't call out Israel directly, but there's a lot of subtext to it. I think that letter will be interesting as they go forward, especially for Councillor Morley on the police board. You know, there are some people who are saying she has to get in line with the police or get in line with the rest of the police. A lot of people say, well, that's a civilian oversight body. That's, her job isn't to get in line. It's to sort of say, hey, what are we doing here? I think it also is bubbling away at city council. There's a strong divide on council as to people who, you know, really want to clamp down on these protests and people who say that's freedom of speech. And I think the letter maybe is sort of bringing some of those tensions to the surface.
These are really interesting profiles on the Toronto Star's website, so go check them out. David, thanks so much for the time, as always.
Thanks for highlighting it. I appreciate it.
David Ryder, Toronto Star.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.